Our scripture reading is verses 4 through 15 of chapter 8 of the Gospel book of Luke. You can follow along on page 1240 of your pew Bible. When a large crowd from several towns had gathered around Jesus, he told them this story. A farmer went out to sow seeds in the field. While the farmer was doing it, some of the seeds fell along the road and were stepped on or eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and started growing. But the plants did not have enough water and soon dried up. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants. The rest of the seeds fell on good ground, where they grew and produced 100 times as many seeds. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said, "If you have ears, pay attention." Jesus' disciples asked him what that story meant, so he answered, "I have experienced the secrets about God's kingdom to you, but for others, I can only use stories. The people look, but they don't see, and they hear, but they don't understand. This is what the story means. The seed is God's message, and the seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message. But the devil comes and snatches the message out of their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it, but they don't have deep roots, and they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they are so eager for riches and pleasures that they never produce anything. Those seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message and keep it in good and honest hearts. They last and produce a harvest."
And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As it happens, there was a bit of an agricultural theme in much of what we heard at annual conference. Our conference speaker, Reverend George Acevedo, talked about fruitfulness in ministry, using the imagery of vine, branches, and fruit. And the preachers at two of our conference worship services, Reverend Kermit Culver from just up north of town here at Legacy United Methodist Church in Bismarck, as well as Pastor Lou Whitmer, who serves North Highland Church in Aberdeen, South Dakota, both used farm-related imagery in their messages. In fact, Pastor Lou Whitmer preached on the very parable you just heard Sherry read a few minutes ago. The title of her sermon on this parable related to the sower of seeds was, "It's Okay to Fling." She was making a connection to that unleashed title for our conference theme. And as I was listening to her preach yesterday morning, I couldn't help but think about my own sermon on this very parable. Except for a couple of weekends when I will not be preaching during June and July here at McCabe, we are going to be exploring a bunch of Jesus' parables. I'll be using these parables as springboards to jump into a year of sermons that will somehow focus on the many aspects of Christian generosity. And the parables of Jesus are a great place to start, because when you start looking at them carefully, you see that they are all about generosity in some way, shape, or form. Now, Jesus' parables are featured in 3 of our 4 biblical gospels. They are featured in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For whatever reason, the Gospel of John does not include any of Jesus' parables. Incidentally, our annual conference speaker, George Acevedo, referred to our 4 biblical gospels as biographies of Jesus. And he did this because he said people who don't go to church don't know what you're talking about when you talk about a gospel, but people do know what a biography is. Now, in case you're wondering what a parable is simply a story. And stories are powerful little tools, aren't they? What's unique about Jesus' parables is that they are nuggets of stories, usually very short, that often seem a bit strange, but that are meant to illustrate some major truth or a handful of major truths about God and about faithful life in this world. A pastor friend of mine once said Jesus' parables are like ticking time bombs. You hear them, and at first you might simply think, well, that's an interesting little tidbit, Jesus. But then it sits ticking away in your brain. Tick, 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 tick. And a day or so later, a part of the story explodes in your mind and heart, and all of a sudden, life looks different. The world looks different. God looks different. That's the power of a good story, right? It's not only interesting to listen to or to read, but it also manages to change you. Jesus said, a farmer went out to sow seed in a field. While the farmer was doing it, some of the seeds fell among the road and were stepped on or eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and started growing, but the plants did not have enough water and soon dried up. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants. The rest of the seeds fell on good ground, where they grew and produced 100 times as many seeds. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said, "If you have ears, pay attention." This parable, the parable of the sower, appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of the Gospels that include Jesus' parables. And that's something, because not all three of them contain all the same parables. So please understand the significance of this fact. It means all three of these Gospel writers, all three of these biographers of Jesus, deemed this story to be very, very important. It's also worth noting that the parable of the sower is the first parable Jesus tells in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So not only is it a very important story, but it's also the first story the writers wanted their readers to read. It's the parable that sets the stage for the other parables. Jesus said, a farmer went out to sow seed in a field. While the farmer was doing it, some of the seeds fell along the road and were stepped on or eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and started growing, but the plants did not have enough water and soon dried up. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants. The rest of the seeds fell on good ground, where they grew and produced 100 times as many seeds. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said, if you have ears, pay attention. In our era of modern farming techniques, some parts of this story don't make sense. Farmers these days don't waste valuable seed by throwing it on the road or in rocks or among thorns. Every seed matters, and that's just not smart seed sowing. Well, I'm guessing farmers back in Jesus' time didn't do that either. There is an element of the ridiculous in this little story. Seeds are precious today, and they were surely precious back then. So right off the bat, we have a farmer, a sower, who apparently just sows seed willy-nilly, paying little attention to the type of soil the seed will fall into. It's ridiculous. A smart farmer knows that sowing seed onto the path is going to cause birds or other animals to eat the seeds, so they won't even have the opportunity to grow and flourish. A smart farmer also knows that sowing seed among rocks into shallow soil is going to prevent the seed from taking root. Like the story says, that seed will start growing, but will dry up quickly for lack of water. And of course, a smart farmer knows sowing seed into thorns will choke any plant that develops from that seed. A smart farmer knows that rich soil, good ground, is the only responsible place to sow seed. Yet the farmer in this story sows seed indiscriminately. He might as well have put all the seeds in a big pinata and just batted away at it blindfolded in the middle of the field. It is absolutely ridiculous. No farmer in their right mind would waste seed with such reckless abandon. I have preached this parable before many times, focusing on the soil, on the ground. I have preached on this story before many times, and I have talked about how our hearts and minds need to be like good soil, like good ground, so the seed of God's word, the seed of God's love and mercy can grow and flourish in our lives. Many preachers have preached many sermons on this particular parable with a variation of that particular message. And it's a fine message. We do, in fact, need to open our hearts and minds to be like good soil, good ground for the seed of God's word, the seed of God's love and mercy. I mean, we don't want to be like the road, soil that is so open to whatever that the seed becomes vulnerable to attack or theft. We also don't want to be like the rocky ground, soil that lacks depth, that gets excited quickly but that burns out just as quickly. And of course, we don't want to be like the thorn bushes, soil or ground that chokes the seed and doesn't even allow it to start growing. Sermons about how we are to be good soil for the seed of God's word and God's love and mercy, they are fine sermons. Like I said, I've preached those sermons before. Many, many preachers have preached those sermons. We need those sermons from time to time. But why don't we forget about the soil for the time being? Why don't we forget about the soil? Let's forget about the ground. And let's focus instead on the farmer. That ridiculous, willy-nilly, indiscriminate sower who just doesn't seem to care a hoot about the soil onto which he's flinging his precious seeds. Why don't we focus on him for a while? Why don't we focus on how ridiculous he is, how irresponsible, how wasteful? It's as though for this farmer, the sowing of the seed is far more important than the yield. The yield is important, but it's almost as if the yield ultimately doesn't matter as much to this farmer. I mean, there's just a mess of seeds all over the place in this farmer's wake. And surely he had to have known the seeds didn't all fall onto good ground. This farmer is ridiculous, but I don't think he's stupid. Even though it doesn't make sense, this farmer seems to know what he's doing when he indiscriminately sows his seeds. Well, what if this is how God gives love and mercy to us? What if God gives us love and mercy just as indiscriminately as this ridiculous farmer flings his seeds to the ground? And what if God gives like this not only to us, but to everyone in the world? Sometimes I'm not sure I can handle a God who is so indiscriminately generous. And it kills me to say that, because I usually have a sense that I deserve God's generosity. But there are others out there I'm just not so sure about. You know what I'm talking about, right? For me, it's the people who've made me mad, who don't think like me, who don't talk like me or live like me, the people who've hurt me in small and big ways. If I'm being completely honest, I'd rather they not be the recipients of God's generosity. But you know what? It's not up to me to determine how God chooses to give. The message of this parable, at least in part, seems to be that our farmer God sows seeds of love and mercy indiscriminately, ridiculously, willy-nilly, because for our farmer God, the point is not in how we receive it. The point is in the giving, which, if you think about it, is amazing good news. And what a gift to now celebrate the indiscriminate generosity of our God as we turn to our celebration of Holy Communion.